But it's good to be able to praise the Lord in the midst of trials and tribulations. When you're just getting off your sick bed and you can still praise the Lord. When you're going through, when your children are acting crazy, you can still praise the Lord. When Satan tries to accuse you and bring up your past and tell you you're no good and you're a wretch and you don't deserve to go to heaven, and he may even tell you there's no heaven, and you can still praise the Lord. And I thank you. Thank this church and Pastor Kimbrough, and thank God for Christian Bible Baptist for coming out. Let's get into our text that was given to me. And I asked my wife, and she said, well, you got to preach what they gave you. So we're going to stand and read Matthew 16, and we're going to start at verse 13, and we're going to read from 13 to verse number 20 of Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Matthew 16, everybody there? Amen. Verse 13. It says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Amen. 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 Deacon Nels has prayed over the sermon and the Word of God, and we thank Deacon Nels for working his way out into the house of God. Amen. 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 I want to preach from the subject, a church that hell fears. I want to talk about a church that hell fears. A church that Satan is fearful of, and what's involved in that type of church. So we have this mentality today that we want to be mega, and the bigger the better, and the quality and the worth of a pastor is how many members he has. And anything mega, anything big, anything popular has to be well light. And some of you have heard me say that the gospel is not a popular book. Jesus wasn't popular. They don't crucify popular people. They crucify militants and radicals. Jesus Christ was militant. He was radical. His message was radical. It was not popular. When he told them that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me, that was as radical as it gets. That what Jesus was saying, that all other religions are hellbound. All other religions, all other gods, all other religions, you just wasting your time. I'm the way and I'm the only way. And if you go to heaven, you coming through me. Not through Mary, not through Joseph Smith, not through Allah, not through Buddha, through me. That's radical. You ain't running for president today saying that. You're not running for mayor saying that. That's a radical message. Jesus was radical. Now he wasn't no plaything. He wasn't letting Satan just run around doing whatever he wanted to do. He chased Satan down. So somebody say, well, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen, I went online and I got 15 of the most popular restaurants in America, and they're popular because they got a real good menu. They got real good stuff and people like it. Okay, and some of you are familiar with some of them. I only got four. You know, we can start from the back or we start from the front, but we know the Olive Garden right now is full. Right now it's full. 2 o'clock on Sunday. They wait for that 2 o'clock Sunday crowd. That's their biggest crowd of the week, most likely, other than Friday night. Then we got Golden Corral. You know, Golden Corral got a big menu. Try to get an Applebee's on a Friday night at 7. Some of y'all, I know my wife been up there once to the Cheesecake Factory. They waiting outside to get in there because they're popular. They got something that people like. Okay, the message that Jesus Christ preached is not popular. You know, if you're ever in Atlanta, there's a restaurant in Atlanta called the Church of God Grill. Somebody said they've been there to the Church of God Grill. So, story has it the guy said, "How did you get your name?" And he said, well, we started off being the Church of God. And then we started having fish dinners and chicken dinners and rib dinners. And people started coming. And it was just full. And everybody came. And on Sunday, nobody came. So we just turned it into a grill. We shut down a Sunday service hall. We was making money on during the week as a grill. So they called themselves the Church of God Grill. And from what I understand, they got really good food. Okay. So, but Satan's not fearful of that. Okay. Satan is not fearful of the church where the Word of God is not being preached or is being compromised or is just a play center. Okay? I just want to talk about a church that hell fears. Okay? And what it's made of. And I only have a few points here, and we want to get right at it. Thank you. Every time I hear that, I work at a prison. And I go out there. I used to go out there a lot and preach to the inmates, and you know, a lot of them doing life, and they would say just what Pastor Kimbrell would say. You know, they say take your time. You know, they say take your time, Red. We ain't going nowhere. You know,
That don't always work in the church.
See, folks got places to go, you know. You know, somebody's pager will go off and the phone will go off and, you know, they unsaved friends are waiting for some church folks, you know. Hey, we partying over here. What you still doing in church? It's Memorial Day weekend. We rocking over here. What you doing up in church? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen. God is looking for a church. He's looking for a church that will scare the hell out of hell. He's looking for a church that makes hell nervous. See, a lot of this stuff ain't making, you know, Satan just ain't even paying attention to what's going on there. All they doing is waving flags. Okay? Listen. We have got to understand God is a militant, violent. The word of God says the kingdom is taken by how? Force. Violent. Listen, the church that hell fears, number one, will be a church with sound, clear, uncompromising teaching of God's word. That's number one. Listen, look at Psalms 119. Here's a good psalm for us to put in our playbook. Psalms 119 and 9. And I'm not going to wait for you to turn there. Just write it down. I'd like to speed through. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Come on.
Oh, come on. Now, we got our young men running into trouble out here.
Amen.
You know, the word of God says judgment must begin in the house of God. We got to preach the word up in here. This ain't no popularity contest. Racing to see who's the biggest. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. He says in Psalms 190, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Some of you men out there, older, don't you wish that when you was a young man, you would have heard the word of God. Some of you still paying child support and alimony and have your social security gone because when you was a young man. Oh, y'all hearing me? Oh, yeah. I remember Jeremiah Wright said, you know, them chickens come home to roost. You plant all them eggs out there, you're going to take care of them babies. I talk to the inmates, they get $17 a month. I say, why are you only getting 12? They paying, they getting that money. In prison, they taking your money, your little $17 a month check they paying for them babies. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, what kind of word is this? What kind of word is this? Listen, it's the kind of word that demons tremble at the sound of his name. We have to learn to preach the word, and everybody's not going to like it. They didn't like it when the apostles preached it. That's why they killed them all. Somebody tell me, well, I'm preaching the word, I'm preaching the gospel. Really? Are they trying to kill you? Doing well, preaching the gospel. I don't know. Let's look at Mark, the book of Mark chapter 1. I like to flip around. You know, I like to flip around. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Here's Jesus preaching to these demons in Capernaum. And it says in verse 21 of Mark, and they went into Capernaum and straightway, on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught.
Well,
he taught. Listen, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. He taught them as one that knew what he was talking about. He wasn't up there playing games and dancing around and hooting and hollering doing the James Brown. He taught them as one that had command of the scriptures. He had to have command. He was the Word. Listen. Hell had his people there. You know, hell show up every Sunday. And what happened in a lot of churches, he just sit down and get comfortable. And you know, sometimes we make them ushers. We make demons ushers, and we got demons singing and directing choirs because they're comfortable. See, the Word ought to chase them out. Listen. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Demon-possessed man sitting in the house of God comfortable. Should never be. Should never be. Listen. And he cried out. Oh, he didn't want to hear the Word. You know when the demons cry out, you know the Word being preached. He didn't woke him up. What is this I'm hearing? Oh, I hope y'all hear me. He said, say it, what? Let us alone. Sing some more songs. What y'all doing? Why y'all put the flags down? Let us alone. Now the Word bothers demons. And you know, the Word bothers demons. He let us alone. What have we to do with thee? We just sitting here enjoying ourselves on Sunday. Homosexuals sitting up in church comfortable. Just comfortable. I'm gay and I'm comfortable here, you know. Just the message ain't offensive. You know, it's watered down. I'm going to invite all my gay friends. And gay folks give good. Oh, they give good. They know what they need to do to, you know. We don't want, you know, can't preach on homosexuality because them gay folks give good. They know how to tie. They tie 20%. They do that so you let them alone. You look at your Rolex, you look at the homosexual, I'm not preaching that today. Saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee? See, the demons don't have nothing to do with God. They don't want to hear him preach. They don't want to hear it talk. And here comes Jesus preaching the gospel. He said, let us alone, what have we to do with you? Thou Jesus of Nazareth. Ain't that something? Demons know more about Jesus than most church folks. The demons knew who he was. Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? They knew what he came to do too. They sound in their doctrine. Let me tell you something. Demons know the Word of God. They know the Word of God. And they know how to do church. They know how to do this. And they come in there saying, art thou come to destroy us? You better believe I did. I know thee who thou art. Look at these demon theology. Look at this demon theology. Here's demon theology. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You get church folk been in church 30 years, don't know that he is the Holy One of God. Ask the average church person who Jesus is. He is the Holy One of God. And we need to know that. A church that hell fears have people in it that know that he is the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold our peace and come out of him. Oh, this ain't no milquetoast Jesus. Jesus was bad. He was bad. So we got we got the GQ Jesus. You know, you go to Walmart, you got the GQ Jesus with the long hair and the blue eye, look all soft and feminine. Oh, that ain't the Jesus that I'm talking about right here. Just the Jesus of a bad man. He come in here, he confronted, he rebuked him. Oh, Jesus, you got the smiley Jesus. Oh, you know, Jesus, I just don't know.
I just don't know if I would ever rebuke Jesus, if I would ever rebuke a demon. It's not my place. It's just not my place to rebuke a demon. Really?
Oh, y'all listen to the guy. Got 30,000 members. Listen. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace." You know what? He didn't ask him to hold his peace. He shut his mouth. When he said, "Hold thy peace," he shut his mouth and he said, "Come out of him." Guess what he did? He came out. When Jesus said, "Come out," he come out. Why? Because he has all power on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, why did he tear him? Why is he messing with you? Why does he want to tear you up? Why does he want to tear your homes up? Tear your marriages up? Tear your children up? Because we are made in the very image of God. And Satan hates God. And he's going to hate everything that's made in God's image. And you are made in God's image. You are made in the image of God. Holy. Come on now. He tore them up. He want to tear our kids up. And he's doing a good job. Everyone in here has been affected by it. Satan has touched all of our lives. And what do? We want to wave flags. We need to preach the word. In season, out of season. That word "instant" means confrontationally. Getting these people faces. Run them out of the church. Go to so-so's. Go to Jitso's. Jitso's still open? No. Can't go to Jitso's no more. I don't know. Listen. Look at verse 27. Oh, Jesus was up at work here. And they were all amazed and so much that they questioned among themselves, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits." And they obey him. A church that hell fears will preach the message in a confrontational, no holds barred way. We can't be scared of sinners. We was all sinners, and everyone in here that's saved was confronted in their sin. Now we're going to preach a message that don't confront people. How are they going to get saved? Who in here is saved and wasn't confronted in their sin that has not had to repent? If you here and you are calling yourself saved and have never repented of your sins and made a 180 degree turn, you are still in your sins. You need to hear the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Lost folks need instruction. They need to know the word of God. You need to know it. This world is sick. This world is dangerous. And these charlatan false preachers that are bombarding the airwaves and the TVs, and they are shifty and slick. And if you don't know the word, you will fall. You will be drinking Kool-Aid, spiritual Kool-Aid. Let me get off that one. Hell. A church that fears hell. Object of worship is Jesus Christ. Pay attention and listen to these teachers. Listen to these preachers. They are not preaching Christ no more. It's God, 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 God. Let me tell y'all something. Hell will be full of people who believe in God.
Amen. I hear you.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. We need to be preaching Christ. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. They had no whole buffet of sermons, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all he preached. Paul said in Acts 20, he said, I have not failed to warn you night and day for 3 years. The word of God, the message of God is a warning message. You gotta warn the people, warn the people, warn the people. Church of fear is God, object of worship will be Christ. Listen, you still in Mark? Oh, good, good, good. Listen, look at Mark chapter 2. Watch the object of worship is Jesus Christ. Listen, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum. Now, you see Capernaum in the Bible over and over and over. That was his headquarters. And you know what? The word of God says the folks in Capernaum were going to be judged harder than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they heard the word of God. They seen the miracles. And guess what? They still didn't get saved. So y'all can sit here and chase miracles all you want. Miracles don't save nobody. You better have the word of God in you. Chasing miracles. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 25, I believe, that an adulterous, sinful generation seeketh after a sign. Oh, they want to speak a tongue. They want to dance. They want you to do some tricks, Jesus. Jump off a mountain. Turn this rock into bread. Oh, it's Satan. Oh, it's Satan. Listen. Jesus entered the house. Verse 2. Chapter 1 of chapter 2 of Mark. He entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was noise that he was in the house. Oh, come on now. And straightway many gathered together so much that there was no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Jesus was a preacher. He preached the word unto him, unto them. Listen. Church folk make it hard sometimes to get to the Lord. Oh, y'all know that, don't you? It's sometimes church folk make it hard to get to the Lord because these folk was all there to see a miracle. See, they weren't there to hear the word of God. They heard Jesus was in town and they wanted a trick. They wanted to see him do a trick, do a miracle. Listen, they wanted to see something. Oh, listen, there's some devout folks came full of faith in the Lord. Look at verse 3. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Sick of the palsy. This palsy was a gripping pain. This person was crinkled up. He was dying. He was sick of it. When you hear the word of God say he was sick of it, I mean he was dying of this. He was about to die. Oh my goodness. I'm glad you asked. Listen. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the church folk blocking the doors, blocking the windows. See, sometimes you got to get creative in your getting to God. Because some folks going to try to hold you back from getting to the Lord. Some of you could have came years ago if it wasn't for church folk. Some of you had to close your eyes because you seen what church folk was doing and you said, well, if that's what they doing in church, I don't need it. See, sometimes you gotta climb the roof. Listen, they climbed the roof and they uncovered it. They didn't have tools. This was a hard roof. They probably hurt them, their hands, and broke their fingernail. There probably was blood. But Jesus was preaching and they climbed the roof. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. How about that? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he's bringing them down. Jesus is preaching. And they bring the sick man down. Oh, listen.
Come on. I hear you.
But Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see the faith of a full house. He didn't see the faith of all them folks there. I'm going to jump the gun a little bit. But all them folks there,
to see Jesus, only one person got healed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." What? He called him son. But what's more important? Jesus is prioritizing the importance of coming to the Lord. What are you coming for? A healing? You see, there's a whole lot of people been healed. Going to hell. See, you can't get to heaven without your sins being forgiven. Now, if you're sitting in here today and you got unforgiven sin, unconfessed sin in your life, you need to get to Jesus. Forget about your back hurt. Forget about your blood pressure high. Forget about your diabetes. You can get healed of all that and still be messed up. Jesus done the most important thing. He forgave him of his sins. He saw the faith before. I know some of y'all gamblers in here. I know some of y'all like going to the rivers. Some of y'all been to Cleveland already. Some of y'all been to Mountaineer. Must not be doing that good because offerings ain't moving none. See, I learned that stuff from you. That's Pastor Kimball's influence on me because he used to do that kind of stuff. Listen, all you gamblers, y'all know four of a kind. Beat the full house. That four of a kind house. Now you sitting there, you got a full house. You think you got something. And a lot of these preachers, they got a full house. But they don't have nothing. Because Jesus saw the faith of these four of a kind. And see, a four of a kind beats the full house. Oh yeah. And you run to them four houses and you think you're getting something. Oh, they ain't full because they're preaching the gospel. They full because they're giving you what you like. Oh, come on now. Oh, come on now. Listen. I'm moving on. Ain't nobody saying amen now. That boy, stay on them points a long time. Okay, listen. Listen. Y'all know four of a kind be a full house. How about Acts? How about Acts 2:41? Y'all know Acts 2:41, you know, it says that 3,000 souls. And I was just looking at this. And it's important that we really look at the scripture critically. But it says in Acts 2:41, and it's the day of Pentecost, and all these folks was coming to the Lord, and it says something here that caught my attention. It says, and they that received his word. Okay, this wasn't just a free-for-all. This wasn't like a Billy Graham crusade where folks just pouring out of the crowd. Okay? I'm going to get in trouble. I'm all right, though. All right, I'm all right. I got some folks out there with some mad skills so I ain't worried about. Listen. Watch this now. I'm going to say this again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000. Don't look at the word of God critically. Souls. Listen, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. God is not looking for a bunch of bodies. He's looking for some souls filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot go to a holy heaven without the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God. Listen, a church that hell fears. Oh, I like this one. A lot of people say, I know what they're saying, Pastor. They said he like all of them. Listen.
I know him. A church that hell fears will be full of saints. Full of saints. I didn't say ain't. Full of saints. Look at Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Y'all hang in there with me. This got so good to us on Wednesday night recently. It just came right back up. Watch this. A church that fears God will be full of saints. Now, you know, listen. You got to have something in you to be a saint. Okay. You can call yourself what you want to. You can sit in the garage and call yourself a Mercedes-Benz. Listen, a church that hell fears will be full of saints. Look at this. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Saints of God, walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Here it is. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's one point that you will know if you are a saint. Your knowledge of God will be increasing. Will be increasing. Oh, that's a sign. That's a good sign. Now you got to ask yourself, well, make application. Since I came to the Lord, since God called me out of darkness into His marvelous light, am I increasing in the knowledge of God? Do I love studying God's Word? Do I love Sunday school, Bible study, prayer meetings, talking to the saints on the phone? Then look at this, saint of God. Strengthened. You will be strengthened with all might. Not your might. According to His glorious power. It takes power. The saint's life is energized by the Holy Ghost. Did I say Holy Ghost in the Baptist church? Holy Spirit. Same thing. Don't let the Pentecostals fool you. Same thing. Okay, listen, you've been strengthened. The saints of God are strengthened by His might according to His glorious power. Unto all patience. Oh, the saints of God going to be patient. You got some patient folk here? Oh, you got to wait out some things. You ain't going to be married long if you ain't patient. And some of you and Jake, you've been married a year. Some of y'all been married 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Listen, they ain't all been good years. Okay. But I don't mean that you can get to the Hall of Fame bat 300. That mean one hit every four bats or something like that? What is it, Dave? 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10, you in the Hall of Fame. You can do it. Listen. Unto all patience. That's a sign of a saint. Got patience. How's your patience? Somebody don't move fast enough, you on the freeway, you in a hurry because you're running late. You quick to flip on the bird. Patience. Listen, watch this. Not only patience, but long suffering. And you're going to be able to suffer long with joyfulness. Now that's a hard thing now. To be able to suffer through some heartaches and pains. Remember, don't let the TV preachers fool you. The Word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now somebody say to you that you ought not have pain and sorrow in your life. You need to hit the remote. Turn that off. Because the Word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:12, that all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Jesus Himself said at the Sermon on the Mount, He says, blessed are those who are what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is difficult stuff. But the church that knows this, that have these type of people in it will scare Satan, will put fear in hell. Listen, you need to know this. I this may be one of the most important points that I make tonight. Verse 13 of Colossians 1. Watch this. Who have delivered us. Us. Watch these great apostles. They always include themselves, because we know Paul was delivered. Paul was on his way down Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, and he was on his way to do some crazy stuff. Paul was a crazy man. Some of y'all got some crazy folks in your family, and you done gave up on them. God forbid that you give up on that crazy uncle or that crazy aunt. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first, then the Greek. You don't give up on nobody. And you keep preaching the word to them, and then you live a godly life in front of them. Back it up with a godly life. Back it up like this Colossians 1:13 person. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. If you saved in here, you were in the clutches of darkness. Satan has you bound. You weren't able to get out on your own. If you saved, you didn't save yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man boast. Satan had you bound, and it was only by the power of God that you were able to get free. You had nothing to brag about. And if he set you free, he'll set someone else free. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. You have to ask yourself, have I been delivered from the power of darkness? And have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. How did this all happen? Look at verse 14. Whom we have redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why did Paul add that in there? Because he knows you cannot get to heaven without the blood of Christ being shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God came to deliver us from sin. A church that held fear will have a church full of saints. Last point. I'm hollering.
That's all right.
Sydney be saying, you don't be hollering. I said, do I be hollering? She said, no, you don't be hollering. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cindy. Listen, the church that hell fears will be fervent in prayer.
Well,
not gonna call. I just look around. I don't want people to get a little jealous, a little envious at the church. But I look around. I can look at anybody in my church. Call them up here and pray.
Amen.
You need to be fervent in prayer.
Well,
you need to be ready to pray. You need to be well versed in prayer. These young people need to know how to pray. Listen, James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. But when I look at this last point here, this last point on a church that hell fears, I was taken to the book of Daniel, and one of the greatest prayer warriors in the Word of God, Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. But before that, there's four P's in Daniel's life. First of all, we talked about this morning. I knew I was getting a little long this morning because I started bringing this sermon in, so I knew it was time to shut down. Okay, I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to bring it in. Listen, Daniel, first of all, Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of purpose. That word purpose means he was determined. And he had a plan in place. Before he got to Nebuchadnezzar's temple. Before he got to Nebuchadnezzar's
castle, wherever Nebuchadnezzar was, he had a plan in place. He had already purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. See, Daniel was a man of purpose. Spencer, what was wrong with the food? First of all, God had gave the Jews a menu. And it had to be kosher. And the food wasn't kosher. It still had blood in it. Secondly, it was sacrificed to idols. Thirdly, it would have given the impression to the others that Daniel was in cahoots or in fellowship with the Babylonian culture. Daniel said no. Second of all, Daniel was a man of principle. You want to have a great prayer life, you got to be a man of purpose. You got to have a determined faith. I'm not going to let this world defile me. I'm not going to let it defile me. And then you got to be a man of principle. Principle. You know, they hated Daniel because he was a man of God. That's why they hated him. They didn't hate him for any other reason. They knew. Word didn't, ain't no secrets. Word knew. People knew him when he didn't eat the food. That didn't stay secret long. But once Daniel started determining those dreams and visions, Daniel became a man of value to Nebuchadnezzar. And King Darius had elevated Daniel. He elevated Daniel. And then they set up a plan. They said to the king, "O king, we're going to worship you for 30 days. And we want everybody to worship you for 30 days. And anybody that don't worship you for 30 days, we're going to throw them in the lion's den." Oh, listen. All of us want to be worshipped. See, all of us want to be God for 30 days. We probably destroy the world real quick, but, you know, nothing wrong with that. Daniel wasn't brought into this discussion, even though he was number one man in the land. But Darius signed off on that. And the plot was on, and they knew that in 30 days, Daniel would be praying to his God. And when Daniel heard the plan, guess what Daniel did? Because he was a man of principle, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. Daniel prayed. His life was a life of purpose. His life was a life of principle. And his life was a life of purity and a life of prayer. And he prayed. He prayed like he normally did. And they threw him in the lion's den. And the lions had their mouth shut. Listen, a church that fears, that hell fears, will be like 1 Thessalonians 5. They will pray without ceasing. The Bible says, "In everything they will give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Colossians 4:2 say we ought to continue in prayer and watch and with thanksgiving. Listen. We need churches that hell fears. We need churches that the word of God is being preached in an uncompromising way. We need a church that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the center of worship. We need churches that are full of saints. And we need churches that are full of prayer warriors. Those that know how to get through. Those whose lives are backed up. The word of God says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous. So we say it all the time. Everybody can and should not pray for you. We need to be effectual. Effective. And fervent means hot. Hot. The Bible, studying the God's word, will keep you hot for the things of God. Thank you, church. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your invite. I hope and pray that the word of God has been a blessing to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.